think of the book of Job. And so let me just say it again to you aloud. It is Job and not Job. Everybody, amen. Book of Job, chapter 1, verse 21. If you have your Bibles at home, would you stand with me in honor of the author of the word as we read God's word together? Job chapter 1, verse 21. And then in the sanctuary, join these sisters and brothers who are standing. Why do we stand? We stand in honor of the author of the word. And so who wrote the word? Well, God did. So we stand in honor of the author of the word. Here's how verse 21 reads. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gives, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me read it once again. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God be pleased with the hearing, reading, understanding, living out of his word. Join me, brothers and sisters, for a word of prayer. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we enter your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. God, we're grateful to you. Lord, we bless your name. For God, you are good. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth endures to every generation. Father, I pray now in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus, that you would please look down now and have mercy on us. That you would again, God, remove every other distraction. Help us to hear your word and then to heed your word, to listen to your word and then to live out your word. Let your word do what your word does, and that is work in the lives of men and women. Pray this now. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray it and we say amen. I want to put a tag on this text and choose this morning, this Sunday morning, as a subject from which to preach. I want to talk about divine interruptions. Divine interruptions. Divine interruptions. Would you say that with me? Divine interruptions. Would you say it again? Divine interruptions. There they are. You can see them. They are married. They've been married now for nearly 40 years. John and Janice Smith. They've been married for many years now, more than four decades. Can you imagine them in your mind? You see John as he is at work in his barber shop. You see John owns a barber shop. You see his wife Janice as she is busy with a bustling movement inside of their home. And she's doing what all good, wonderful, godly women of God do. She's taking care of her family, taking care of herself, taking care of her husband. That is her houseband. John is at work in this booming and this wonderfully built barbershop. He is married to his beautiful, godly wife, and all is well until one day, following a doctor's appointment, Janice shares with her husband, John, that the news is not good. She's been diagnosed, brothers and sisters, with a deadly disease. This disease throws into their life a divine interruption. Have you ever experienced anything like this, where you're going down the road, following the laws, doing everything that's righteous according to the rule, only to experience a divine interruption? I hear you now. Some of you are saying, Pastor Ford, why did you read Job chapter 1 and verse 21? Did you realize, Pastor Ford, that it began with the conjunction and that you really, grammatically speaking, should have backed up at least to verse 20 where it says, then Job arose. Did you realize, Pastor Ford, that Job chapter 1 verse 21 begins with the word and, suggesting and stating in a very real way that 21 doesn't make any sense without 20? Yes, I realize that, but I wanted to peek at that point to suggest to all of us, even as we read the Holy Scripture, that the Bible itself, brothers and sisters, is littered and loaded with stories of divine interruption. Don't look at the television like that. Don't look at your phone like that. Don't look at the computer screen like that. Y'all in the sanctuary, don't look at me like that. Life is filled, Sister White, with divine interruptions. I know I have been going down the street of life, minding my own business, only to have circumstances and conditions come into my own lane and disrupt my life. Brothers and sisters, that's the case in the book of Job. We know this story, most of us on a high level. Let me see if I can give it to us in a condensed way. Here it is. Job Scholars tell us that the book of Job, watch this now, may have been the very first book really ever written that goes into our Old Testament. That is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. The writing of the book may have predated, watch this now, even the writing, the dated writing of the books of the law. Job is not a fictional character. No, Job is not some cartoon Christian. No, Job is not a parabolic book, meaning that it is a story that may or may not be true about a person who may or may not live. No, Job is a real story about a real man whose life is divinely interrupted. Let me give you Job's dossier, his resume. Let me give you the attaché that goes along with his existence. Job, watch this now, is a man who the Bible says lived in the land of Uz. Not the land of Oz. Leave that alone, Sherman. He lived in the land of Uz. The Bible says he was a man who was upright and who shunned. King James says he eschewed evil. Don't all of us aspire to be like that, that whenever evil comes our way, we just kind of want to push it away? Tim, we don't want to embrace evil. We want to shun evil. The Bible says that Job was a righteous man, that he's married to a righteous woman, that they have wonderful children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. The Bible says his life is bustling and it's booming, and he's going for broke in terms of being blessed by God. Job, everything is good. He's got money in his pocket. He's got food in the pantry, the cupboard, in the kitchen. He's got meat in the refrigerator, in the kitchen, and some more meat in the freezer, in the garage. Are y'all following me? Job has a Cadillac Camel. He has a Mercedes animals that are all around him. The Bible tells us that he is rich beyond measure as it relates to material goods. But brothers and sisters, he's even more rich as it relates to his righteous relationship with God. The Bible records in Job chapter 1 that there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before God himself. Isn't it good to know that everybody answers to God? Here's an aside. Even the sons of God, even the angels in heaven, everybody comes and they answer to God. And there came a day, according to Job chapter 1, when the sons of God, when the angels of God came to present themselves to God. And the Bible says this, watch this now, and the devil came also among them. Sheila, oh Sheila. The devil shows up in the midst of the meeting. Has that ever happened to you? Where you're going down the lane of life and the devil shows up in the meeting and you didn't invite him. Come on, tell the truth. Shame, Beelzebub, Lucifer, Samhain. Has the devil ever come into your situation and you did not invite him, but you looked up and you saw him sitting right there in the seat next to you? The Bible says that a contest came up, really a contest is really not a contest when the one you're testing in your con is God. Wake up and write that one down. So what happens in the story of Job is this. Watch this, Ann. Here's what happens in the story of Job. Watch this, Rob. Here's what happens in the story of Job. Watch this, brothers and sisters. Watch what happens. The Bible says that there is a showdown. The suggestion is made as Satan presents himself to God, he must answer to God. So God says to him, Satan, what are you doing? And the devil, even though he didn't want to answer, he had to answer because God asked him a question. And he said, well, I'm going up and down in the earth. I'm walking to and fro in it. I'm trying to see who and what I can devour, destroy, bring down. That's what the devil does. He said to God these things. God, in essence, says to him, watch this now. Well, while you're looking for someone to test and to try, while you're looking for someone to see if you can manipulate their mind and mess with their spirit and their soul and their faith in me, watch what God says. Have you considered my servant Job? I don't know about y'all, but I'm blown away by that. I'm blown away by that. I'm blown away by that, Thomas Jackson. I'm blown away by the fact that God recommends Job. Here's the question for the congregation today. Can God recommend you and I to the devil for a godly test? Or would he look at our lives and say, no, just leave Sherman alone. He's going to fall in 5 seconds. He's going to fall in 5 seconds. Reverend Walker, Troy, he's going to fall in 5 seconds. He recommends Job. Job doesn't know anything about this heavenly showdown. And by heavenly, I mean the first heaven. I don't mean the third heaven where God lives. He doesn't know anything about this showdown that's about to go down in his own family. The devil says to God, you think Job loves you. He doesn't love you. You have this hedge of protection around him. But if you take that hedge down, I'll make him curse you to your face. And God said, game on. Can you see the devil now? He comes into the life of Job. And the Bible says there was a day like any other day when Job was doing what Job does. Watch what the Bible says Job does. The Bible says that Job, on a regular basis, would offer sacrifices to God on behalf of himself, his wife, and their children in case they did something wrong. That's a good father, ain't it? Just in case, Troy, they did something wrong. And the Bible says that the devil has his way. I won't run through all of it. Our time is short. But let me just say this to you, that the devil hits him with his faith. The devil hits him with his finances. The devil hits him with his herd of sheep and animals. The devil hits him with his physical health, and the devil hits him with his faith. The Bible says in one day, his animals are taken and destroyed. In one day, the Sabians come and they go to war and they kill his servants, and only one servant shows back up at Job's house and says, Job, here's what happened, and I have escaped to tell thee. Another one, Job, we were taking care of all the animals, and here's what happened, and I have escaped to tell thee. But here's the one that rocks Job. One servant says, Job, yeah, listen, your sons and daughters were eating in your eldest son's house, and the wind showed up. And while all of them were there in the house, Job, feasting and having fun with family, the house collapsed, and all of your children, oh my goodness, are dead in one day. I ask the question again, have you ever had a divine interruption? Job was doing nothing wrong, doing everything right, and still wrong came bowling down his alley and walking down his street. You may think that bad things only happen to bad people. That's not true. The Bible says that God causes it to rain on the just, come on now, and the unjust. That our God is the God of everything and everyone, everywhere, even when they don't acknowledge him. Here's the nail in the proverbial coffin. Sister Job comes to Job and says, listen, your physical health is bad now. You have boils and pus all over your body. And when you are around, the Bible says that Job began to take broken pieces of rock and he would scratch himself trying to get the itch away, trying to get the sores off of his body. Can you see the pus that would run out? He's now pungent with pus that is running down his person. And his wife said, Job, look, why don't you just curse God and die? How do you in 24 hours go from being on the top to being beneath the bottom? It happens in divine interruptions when God allows some things, even if we don't like those things. Job says to his wife, you talk like a woman who doesn't know God. He refuses to curse God and die. Then to add insult to injury, bottom to no even more basement. He has three friends. I told you I'm trying to go fast now. Eliphaz and Bildad and Elihu. They hear word on the street. They were watching CNN and MSNBC. And they were watching all these channels. They stayed away from Fox. But they were watching the channels. And they heard about what happened to Job. And like any good friend, here's what they did. Here's what they did. They came to him and said, Job, what did you do to cause God to do this? God wouldn't do this if you were righteous. What did you do? Anybody got fair weather friends like that? Those who are so quick to blame you for the calamity in your situation when honestly you had nothing to do with it. When Job tells them he's innocent, they say, there's no way, Jose Posible, no way you're innocent, because this kind of calamity wouldn't happen to anyone unless they were not following God by. Come close. Be Job for just 1 minute. Can you see him sitting in squalor? Can you see him with boils over his body? Can you see his wife with tears in her eyes saying, curse God and die. I no longer want to see you in this situation. Can you see them as they are burying now with a loan from not having any more resources, all of their children and their children's spouses and all of their family? Can you see now the weeds growing large on the acres of land that he owns? Can you see now the decaying carcasses of the animals that have been slaughtered? Can you see now the servants who have stayed with them 24 hours, maybe 48, maybe 72, and they're now walking outside the door with their bag under their arm? Can you see Job with his friends accusing him of being everything except a child, come on now, of God? His life was divinely interrupted, and here we are now. Job chapter 1, verse 21. Here is the verse again. And Job, watch this now, in verse chapter 1, verse 21. He says, naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. Come on, Job. The Lord gave. There we go. The Lord take away. There we go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What do you do with divine interruptions? Well, you understand, first of all, that God is a giver. The verse says, and God gave. The word here for gave is an interesting Hebrew word. It's nathan. It is N-A-W-T-H-A-N. And watch this now. It literally means to ascribe or to apply. That is, whenever we're in this world, God, our Father, is a giver. He nathans us. He ascribes to us. He applies to us blessings that we do not deserve. Shout over that. That none of us deserve clothes on our back. None of us deserve eyes to see. None of us deserve ears to hear. None of us deserve a heart that's beating. None of us deserve shelter over our heads. None of us deserve food in our cupboards. But watch this now. Our God blesses us, and he ascribes to us. He applies to us. He nathans to us blessings that we do not deserve. It's called grace. And in this time of pandemic, in this time of personal pain for our church and others dealing with loss, like a Cheryl Manningham, Reverend Estelle Walker, understand this, brothers and sisters, that our God nathans us. He applies and ascribes to us blessings we do not deserve. He gives us more than what we need and more than what we qualify for. So I can make that plain. 2 weeks ago, I think it was fine. It was 2 weeks ago. I had a mail, a large envelope, you may remember this, to a former member of our church, still a member in spirit, but I had to mail a large envelope. And so here I am. I'm printing out this letter, and I mail the envelope to this member and to their family, and I went to the post office. And if you know anything about me, the brothers and sisters at our church will tell you that I'm always kind of just moving over here, moving over there. I'm like Samwa Fair. I'm trying to be everywhere. Understand that I'm a speed demon. Come on, Michael Jackson. Speed demon. I'm the one who's going over here and going over there. I didn't have access to Reverend Michael Samuel and the UPS. And so, Mike, I went down to the post office. Watch this now. And I went there, and I got ready to go into the post office. And when I went in, would you believe this? There was some people there. Arrogant audaciousness, the unmitigated gall to have a line that was going out the door. I got upset. I said, they don't know who I am. I just, there was a line, Reverend White. They didn't know who I was. And then I walked over, watch this now, to the automatic machine. You know how you can put the envelope down and it meters for you and it tells you how much you need to put on for postage? Well, before I left the church, I took a roll of our stamps. Francine, I don't know if I told you that. I took a roll of stamps. I thought, just a whole roll. I couldn't figure out how much. I really couldn't figure out how to work that machine. I took all the stamps I had and put them all over the envelope. I promise you, in Jesus' name. Every last one of the stamps I had, I put them all over the envelope. And then I just turned that mug in. Watch the word nathan. Watch the word ascribe. Watch the word apply. I apply those stamps to that envelope. They were covering. You could barely see the address. But here's what happened. That package had more power and purchase power on top of it than what it really needed. And so it went from being regular mail to first class to whatever's above first class. I dropped that thing in. And here's what I knew. It's going to get where it's going with some power to spare. That's the grace of God that God gave to Job. God says, or Job says, the Lord gives. He ascribes and applies to all of our lives more than we deserve. That one didn't get you. That one didn't get you. Let me give you one more. One more. My years back at Grand Canyon College. Now, Grand Canyon University. I went to several colleges. Went to Grand Canyon. Lived there on the dorms. Listen, I was broke as a joke most days when I was there. And so they had this wonderful thing called a student loan. Well, it was wonderful before you had to pay back. So there's a student loan. There's something else there. Y'all don't know about this. Some of you went to college on just full scholarships. All y'all just went. Y'all didn't have no bills. They had one thing there called a Pell Grant. Watch the word nathan. Watch the word grant. Y'all going to catch me already now. Pell Grant. I hear Sister Davis laughing. I think she still got one or two college bills she got to pay. I understand this. Pell Grant. The beautiful thing about a Pell Grant over and against a college loan is that loans you have to repay, pay back. A grant. Baby, I was in that financial aid office every semester, signing my little name away. And I had me a Pell Grant. They gave me a check made out to me. Can I tell you it never lasted the whole semester? Can I just tell you that I had some friends that were getting cars with their Pell Grant money. I had some friends that were getting clothes with their Pell Grant money. And listen, that grant was given to students who qualified because of their insufficient, watch this now, financial ability to go to school on their own. And so they were granted, they were given a Pell Grant that was applied to their financial aid. Come close. God has given all of us a grant. It's not a Pell Grant. It's a grace grant. Jesus paid it all with his own blood, and we don't have to pay it back. And we can go up higher in life because Jesus paid it all. And watch the verse. The verse says that Job says the Lord gave. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. I'm almost done. And the Lord has taken away. That's what he says. The Lord gave. And then he says the Lord has taken. Watch this now. Away. The word therefore taken away. Watch this. It's the word lakar. And it literally means to carry away, to be blessed. The Lord gave. Watch Job's testimony. He says to his wife, well, the Lord gave. What did he give you, Job? A house? What did he give you? Family? What did he give you? Finances? What did he give you? Physical health? What did he give you? Long life? What did he give you? Everything you need. But then, baby, yes, sister, he's talking to Sister Job. Baby, yeah, the Lord gave over here, but now the Lord has taken away. Here's what I want you to know, that life has a way of giving. And the life has a way of taking. But when God is our Father, the Holy Spirit, our constant company keeper, when we have other believers as our family of faith who are there to love and support us, when we have the Bible as our guidebook, when we have all that we need for life and godliness, our God, even when we've done nothing wrong necessarily, will take some things away. And he has a purpose in the process, even if it brings us pain for a moment. Job was going through a hard time. He says, Sherman, I said, yeah, Job. He says, the Lord has taken away. Have you ever had a divine interruption where God took away a job, our family member, our loved one, or whatever it is that brought you joy, but now, while you're on the other side of that circumstance, you're thanking and praising God because you could not then see what he was doing, but you're stronger now. You're better now because God who gives is also the God who takes. Here's the reason God takes. One reason God takes is to remind us that he's God. Another reason God takes is because he wants us to remember that we only should rely on him and him alone. Some of us can make cars and creature comforts and cash and the cottage in the country and even our current crib. We can make it our God. And you know what the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 20. The Bible says that God says, I, the Lord, am your God. He's talking to the nation of Israel through his prophet Moses. And he says, you tell the nation of Israel that I said this in my 10 commandments, not my 10 suggestions, not my 10 big ideas. commandment number one, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I'll have no other gods before me. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is God possibly taking away some things from us in our lives because we're putting those things, those people, or those places in front of him? And if that's the case, brothers and sisters, we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. God can call that thing. That is to say, God can bless us with it at one moment, and then God could take it from us at the next moment. Can you see now the glee on the face of the devil? Can you see that he is believing that he's winning this thing? Job is stricken. You see Job on his bed, don't you? Job is down. You see Job. He's down. Job's wife is standing over him, pinching her nostrils, saying, why don't you just curse God and die? His friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Elihu, have visited him time and time again, and they're constantly accusing Job of being cold-blooded and not as connected to God as he declares. Can you see Job? He's laying in squalor. He's in a place, in a position of perpetual pain. And in the midst of this, can you see the devil gloating with God? Here comes our close. God says to the devil says to God, I told you I'll make him curse you to your face. God says he hasn't done it yet. He's not going to do it. Job says to his wife, Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Here's the close. He said, no matter what the Lord does. You see the last part of that verse. Blessed be the name of the definite article, not the Lord, that is God. He said, baby, listen, I understand that. We were up yesterday, and we're down today. I understand that I had perfect health on Monday, and now I have poor health on Tuesday. No matter what the Lord does, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know if this is coming through to you or not, but what this means is this, is that our God is able to keep us no matter what situation we're in. Here it is, and I'm done. Cheryl Manningham is gone from our church. She folded her tent and moved upstairs. Since the pandemic began, we've now had 7 or 8 homegoing celebrations. I declared to our church, we will never have another homegoing celebration here until the vaccine is found, just to be safe. I know our congregation, I know you out there, you're hurting, you're going through pain, you're going through suffering, but remember that God is no matter what we're going through, for every story we have that's negative, God has 1,000 that are positive. You're still breathing. How do I know it? You're watching me right now. You have ears to hear. How do I know it? You're listening to me right now. God is good. I'm done. No, hold it. I remember why you're not shouting. I left James and his wife Janice at the barbershop. Thank you, EDJ. Y'all don't know my relationship with EDJ. Pray for her right now in the name of Father Hiboshi Shando. Watch this now. I left them at the barbershop. They had a disruption in their day. They had a bend in the road. And if you remember what happened to them, they're going along. The husband is running the barbershop. The wife is running the household. Everything is cool and copacetic. She gets the news of a poor medical report. Changes their lives. And I did not tell you that the barbershop was attached to their house. In the basement of the barbershop, those of you from the East Coast, like a Michael Samuel, will appreciate this. They had a basement, and there is a staircase that goes downstairs to their basement. Can you see it now, the sign that says barbershop? Can you see the barbershop being filled? Can you see the wife coming down every now and again, checking on her husband, and him going back up? She would, when she was healthy, bring lunch or prepare coffee and cake in the morning. Now the tables are turned. Wires got crossed. Leave me alone on that. Some of y'all will catch that in my age category. He's now the husband finding himself going upstairs and leaving clients waiting in chairs to get a haircut, a shave. One day he puts a sign on the door and he tells all his employees, listen, the shop is going to close, but I'm going to keep one chair open for me. Here's what he does. Puts a sign on the outside of the door of the barbershop, and here's what it says, closed for business down here. I've moved upstairs. Can you see the shout already? Now, I don't care if it's Cheryl Manningham. I don't care if it's your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, whoever it is. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may close for business down here, but there is a sign on the proverbial door that says, moved upstairs. That's it. That's all I got. I'm done. Father, we come now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that no matter what it is we're dealing with, God, that you're able to heal and strengthen and deliver us and set us free. We thank you that there are divine interruptions that we don't always understand, but the biggest interruption is not an interruption. No, it's an intervention where you come into our lives and you heal, strengthen, and you deliver. So, God, we thank you now for all of your blessings. I pray, God, that if there's anyone here in the sanctuary, anyone watching online doesn't know you're saved, your Lord, they come saying, I want to be saved today. These saints in the sanctuary, they join me as we pray, God. And if there's anyone watching online who needs you, Father, we pray now that, God, you would bless. And that, Father, you would help them to make a decision for you. Not this church, not a denomination, but a decision for Jesus. Yes, God, we repent. We repeat.